Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The life of Christ is marked by a rejection by the Jews on the whole, and by an acceptance by the Gentiles. The first evidence of this fact is the adoration of the Magi on the one hand, and the subsequent massacre of the Holy Innocents on the other. Although Herod was not himself a Jew by birth and blood, but rather an Idumean, that is, someone from a neighboring pagan tribe, he nevertheless had adopted Judaism so as to be its respected king. Herod became the king of this land by treachery, by lying, by violence, bloodshed, and other evil means. But he never succeeded in obtaining the respect that he desired. The Herod of the massacre of the Holy Innocents is the same Herod who ordered the death of many prominent citizens in Jerusalem as he himself lay dying, in order that someone would weep at his funeral. And so this is a monster beyond all proportion and imagination. The news of the birth of the King of the Jews, announced by the Magi upon their arrival in Jerusalem, was a terrible shock to Herod's system. He went into a temporary panic because he was extremely jealous of his power. He was detested by the Jews, and his hold on his power was one that was tenuous, because the Jews would have dispensed with him in a moment's notice. Jerusalem was also in a state of agitation over the news that the Magi brought, both because they now had an exhilarating expectation of the Messiah, whom they thought would be a temporal Messiah, and because they feared what Herod would do when he found out that he had a rival. Herod calls the Sanhedrin together in a special meeting in order to ask them where the King of the Jews would be born, and they respond, in Bethlehem of Judah. And so Herod is in possession of all the important information. He will ask the Magi the time of the star, and so he knows the approximate age of the child. He knows where the child is born, and he knows that the child is born. And he mendaciously tells the Magi to return to Jerusalem after they have discovered the King of the Jews, in order that he too may go and adore. Upon the departure of the Magi, there hovered a great danger over the Christ child. An angel appears to Saint Joseph, relating this danger to him, and tells him to quit Bethlehem immediately and go into Egypt. And Joseph does this in perfect obedience and promptness. And in so doing, he is a model to all who must accept the will of God, even when it demands the very difficult. There were two ways to Egypt. One was along the coast of the Mediterranean, which was the more direct and the more traveled route. But Saint Joseph most likely did not use this road for fear that the Holy Family could be and would be overtaken by the soldiers of Herod en route. The other way was the more difficult road through the desert, and he most probably took this road. It took 6 or 7 days for the Holy Family to arrive in the ancient province of Gesen in Egypt, which had been inhabited by Hebrews for a long time. And they stayed there for a short time, and from there they went to the city of Memphis in Egypt, and resided there for the duration. Egypt, although a pagan place, was a safe refuge from Herod because Egypt was a province of Rome and was directly subject to the emperor, and Herod had no jurisdiction whatsoever in that land. And in addition, although there was a pagan land, there were a great many Jews residing in Egypt at the time. Herod, in the meantime, is waiting for the Magi to return to Jerusalem from Bethlehem. He finally comprehends that they would not be returning. No doubt learning from his spies or his police that the Magi had already departed by another road. This failure of the Magi to return disturbed Herod deeply, as from it he imagined a plot to dethrone him in favor of this rival in Bethlehem. So he went into a blind excess of rage, something that he was wont to do toward the end of his life. And he sent his soldiers with orders to massacre not only in Bethlehem itself, but also in the surroundings of Bethlehem, all the male children 2 years and younger. In this way, he hoped to kill the Christ child and to stop any attempt at his throne. And in fact, if the Christ child had not fled from Bethlehem, he would have succeeded in doing this. Bethlehem, at the time, had a population of about 2,000 souls. And if we analyze approximately how many children there would be in such a town, it comes out to about 30 children in that category of 2 years and younger. And so in front of their wailing mothers, they were ruthlessly put to the sword of Herod. St. Matthew quotes the prophet Jeremiah. It's the last sentence in today's gospel. The passage comes from a section of Jeremiah in which he is speaking about the deportation of the Jews by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Chaldea in the 600s before Christ, and he warred against the Jews, captured Jerusalem, and laid Jerusalem waste, totally destroying the magnificent Temple of Solomon and razing the city, leaving it in ruins. And part of his punishment of the Jews was to deport them into Babylon, Chaldea, what is now Iraq. And this was known as the Babylonian captivity of the Jews, and it lasted for 70 years. And the prophet Jeremiah was the prophet who was telling the Jews of this imminent disaster, and who actually remained in Jerusalem after the destruction, after the deportation, and there wrote his Lamentations. And that's why the Lamentations of Jeremiah are sung during Holy Week, because the destroyed Jerusalem is a symbol of the crucified Christ. It is the infidelity of the Jews that brought down the punishment of the destruction of Jerusalem in the Old Testament upon themselves. They were unfaithful to the law. They had been warned by Isaiah the prophet of their infidelity to the law and the coming judgment against them and their coming disaster. And then Jeremiah the prophet warned them, and it happened. And the infidelity of the Jews was also the cause of the crucifixion of Christ. And so the Lamentations of Jeremiah over the beautiful city of Jerusalem in ruins is applicable to the Passion of Christ, because the infidelity of the Jews brought this on. And the Jews would be again destroyed, Jerusalem again destroyed, and the Jews again deported by the Roman emperor in 70 AD as a direct punishment for the crucifixion of Christ, as a direct punishment for their ultimate act of infidelity. And so that's why the verse is chosen. Now, it mentions Ramah. Ramah is a town about 5 miles north of Jerusalem, and it was the gathering point for the Jews who were being assembled by Nebuchadnezzar for their deportation into Babylon. And the prophet Jeremiah pictures Rachel, who is the mother of the Jews, coming out from her tomb and bewailing the fact that her children are being snatched from her. Now, who is Rachel? Rachel is the wife of Jacob. Jacob is the son of Isaac, who in turn was the son of Abraham. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are the three great patriarchs. And because Rachel is the wife of Jacob, and therefore the mother of the 12 tribes of Israel, she is the mother of Israel. And the prophet Jeremiah imagines her coming out of her tomb and bewailing her children now being brought into captivity in Ramah. And that's the reason for that verse. And St. Matthew applies the verse to the disconsolate mothers of the Holy Innocents who see their children now butchered before their very eyes. And if this were not a Sunday, you would see the priest in purple vestments today, because the church feels sorry for the mothers who have lost their children. She does not say the Gloria, and she does not have festivity on this day. There is no Alleluia on the Feast of the Holy Innocents if it occurs during the week, because the church focuses on the mothers who have lost their children. But if it should occur on a Sunday, the church wears red in festivity because of the great martyrdom of these children and the prize that they received as the result of their martyrdom. For these mothers, now bewailing their children, did not realize that their children, their babies, had received the greatest prize that they could have ever dreamed of. No greater good could these mothers have given these children, these babies, than what Herod gave them indirectly. And as they see their children cut in half by the sword, they do not realize that the blood that they are shedding is a sanctified blood, is a blood that is in imitation of the precious blood of Christ that will flow from the hands, the feet, and the side of Christ. It is a precious blood, because it is a blood shed in testimony of the divinity and royalty of our Lord Jesus Christ. These little babies receive the crown of martyrdom, and for this they will receive eternal life in heaven. They will behold the face of God, and upon earth they will receive the glory of sainthood and be raised to the altars of the church, so that from the beginning of their martyrdom until now, to this very day, 2,000 years later, they are held in esteem, they are venerated as great saints of the church, the Holy Innocents. And do you think that these little children would have been known by us if the sword of Herod had not fallen upon them? Would they have been remembered by anybody? Would they have gone to heaven? We don't know. And it should be a lesson to us that what often seems to us to be a terrible cross, an injustice, an abandonment by God, a suffering, a disease maybe, turns out in the end to be a great honor and a great victory. St. John Chrysostom said, "Nothing is greater than to suffer for Christ." And the reason that he said that is that we show our love for Christ the most by suffering for him. And secondly, we are attached to Christ the most by suffering for him. And because Christ is the light, because he is the way, the truth, and the life, because he is our salvation, nothing therefore is greater than to suffer for Christ, for this suffering is the most direct and most efficacious way of uniting ourselves to Christ. And so the martyrs who suffer for Christ ascend glorious into heaven. They do not pass through purgatory, but they are perfected in this great act of love for Christ. And we therefore honor these little babies today, and we ask for their intercession for us, because they merited, by the providence of God, to suffer for Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.